dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox.
Hello, all you SVC fans, and welcome back into the lavish home studios of SVC Sports Talk. This is Bruce Knox, welcoming you to show 283, brought to you, of course, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. All kinds of fun under one roof, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street. Normally open 7 days a week from 11 to 10. Their telephone number is 740-773-7529. You can look them up on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com or follow them on Facebook, as I do, and it'll keep you up to date on what's going on. Right now, they continue to be temporarily closed, and hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, they will be back in there. We just really don't know what's going on as far as their plans. I think the steps that they have to go through to be open are laborious, to say the least. So I think it's going to take some time, and we wish them the best. We always, of course, thank them for their support of the podcast. Say hello first to John Bruce. John, back from a big trip to Texas, I understand.
Yeah. Why? I'm still exhausted. I've been exhausted. It's been 2 days.
Yeah.
I actually have three older brothers that live in Galveston, Texas.
I see.
And my dad asked me last week or the week before, just said, hey, do you want to go down to Texas? And my dad is 81. Uh-huh. He was going to drive by himself if I didn't go. So
I see.
While I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I wanted to go also to make sure that he got down there safely and back. And then we made the great decision to drive the entire way back, which was right around 20 hours by the time I got back to Chillicothe. So it's been a couple of days, but I feel like I'm getting a little more energy in me.
You sure look better. You sure look better.
I am very, very burnt.
Yeah. All right. And then, of course, say hello to Shane Combs. Mr. Combs, how are you?
Really, really well. Yeah, good to see John making it back to the Buckeye State well. And, you know, Bruce, I know we don't get together quite as often, but I know you're holding down MacArthur, Ohio. And, you know, it's just it's been a weird spring, but it's something that we've been excited to still try to do. And, you know, if all goes well, we'll continue to move it forward. This is going to be our final show of this particular season as we cap it off at 283. So it is. It's been a unique year, to say the least. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. And no, I'm excited to be back in the studio here and get one final show in to highlight some kids tonight.
I can't help but have a little pride in the both of you, though, because I do know that both of you have taken more steps to get into the celebrity realms with your own podcast. John, I think you're doing your own podcast. It looks like you're having pretty good success. You want to kind of give it a plug, perhaps?
Yeah, it's called One More Ride. It's available on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can find it. Otherwise, if you just search in that. For the most part, I've been trying to have different guests. The last couple of weeks, I just talked a little bit more, and you know, it's a mental health podcast. There's a lot of stuff in there. Discussing how to cope, how to deal with different mental health issues. But also we talk a lot about sports and movies and different things. I have a couple good guests coming on in the next couple of weeks. So that was one of the things that I was setting up down there, was finding another good guest to have on there. So that'll be something that it's been pretty weekly, but since I didn't take any equipment down to Texas, we taking a 1 week break, but I'll have something out again this week. But it's, I put it on my Twitter usually, and it's usually a pretty decent listen.
Okay.
But if you get tired of listening to me, I understand too.
All right. And Shane, you want to talk, give a plug for your other podcast if you want.
Well, I will, and I'll say with John's, it really is a good listen. It's a good message, but it's also a lot of different entertainment, and you know, I just think that it's you know, it just has a lot of mixture to it. I've really, really enjoyed it, John. I have. I think you do a nice job. Yeah, Bruce, I appreciate that opportunity too. You know, obviously on here we're going to continue to keep this 100% SVC 100% of the time, and you know, if we're able to be fortunate enough to extend years to come, which is our goal, we're going to continue to do that. We think we're unique in terms of our league doing this than compared to any other individual league. There's just nothing else like it, and it's continued to go unmatched to my knowledge around all of Southern Ohio. So that's something I'm excited to always provide. What we're doing in this other podcast, Bruce, is exactly what the name says, expanding the zone. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to take all of what my brother and I served as the foundation of SVC Sports Zone. And again, on that, keeping it 100% about the SVC schools, about the athletes, about the coaches, this is expanding that zone. And it's basically a leadership type of podcast that deals with coaching and sports topics. We kind of let the sports world generate our topics. We've talked about the cheating from the Astros. We've talked, you know, about the Last Dance. We talked a lot about sportsmanship and championship chain and, you know, all sorts of things there. We talked parent perspective. We talked Little League was probably our biggest feedback show. Mm-hmm. I know I responded to over 20 to 25 messages on the Little League show alone. And then, you know, we have one coming out this week on officials and umpires. And ooh, is there a shortage and why? And it may not be exactly what you think. As we've researched out to a lot of officials and umpires there. So that's exciting. State of the game on baseball, John, I know mm-hmm. kind of on our side, that's one. We're going to do the same for football, and we're going to do the same for basketball. The basketball nice. Might even have to be a two-part show because of our passion there and all of the, you know, my brother and I really have two different angles there. So we may even have to do a two-part series there. So it is. It's exactly what we say, expanding the zone. In no way what John and I are doing are we trying to take away from SVC Sports Talk. We're just simply trying to put another thing out there and with some different messages. So, no, it's exciting. I've enjoyed John's, and I know John's spoken yeah. nicely of ours as well. So it's, oh, yeah. I just think that you we're on the same podcast apps that John mentioned there, and then we also do ours, guys, with video on our YouTube mm-hmm. channel, SVC Sports Zone Shane. And again, part of putting it on there is one, so you can see my beautiful face each week.
Yes.
But two, that's something we hope to grow in SVC Sports Zone as we get back into hopefully playing games and covering kids. We're hoping to utilize that to cover our SVC kids in a different way here in the years to come as I try to join Bruce Knox in the year 2020 of technology.
All right. Well, I knew those things were near and dear to your hearts, and I thought I'd give you a chance here to kind of plug them. A little cross pollination never hurt anybody. And as you say, we'll carry on with SVC Sports Talk. Shane, you know, as I was preparing for the taping here today, I got to thinking 283 shows we've been doing this. That's 9 full years now. We're at the end of the 9th year. You know, on average, about 30 podcasts, that'd take you to 270. And then we've carried over a few different things to make up the additional 13 podcasts. But it's been a long time, and Triple Crown Family Fun Center has been with us throughout. Why don't you talk a little bit about the relationship with Triple Crown?
Absolutely. They've been unbelievable, and I hope our community does. And based on the business they've been able to sustain, I think our community does realize they do amazing things for people of all ages throughout our community, our schools. I know Paint Valley gets involved in using them as their some of their good behavior and reward trips and so forth. I know even at the high school level, it's funny, guys, how the same place can host third and fourth graders 1 week, middle school the next week, and high school the following mm-hmm. week, and every single age group comes away with a good time. You know what I mean? It's something for all ages. I know what they've done for the sport of soccer and some of the other sports throughout has been great, but adult entertainment and some food opportunities, and you know, but adults can come and watch their kids do different things and so forth. So it's just a fun family place. And I can't say enough for what they've done. And obviously this is a difficult time where they're not able to do those things, but they've continued to support us through the end of this ninth season. And hopefully everything gets back, and that partnership will continue. But I appreciate that, Bruce, an opportunity just to thank all those people and everything they did. I would love to have had them on the show. Logistically just didn't work out. In fact, we had planned on, guys, if you remember, we had planned on doing one of these spring shows, maybe live from in there. And then kind of all this stuff broke out this spring. So again, all those goals may be still on the table, and we'll look forward to the future with an opportunity. But for now, just a simple thank you. 283, nine seasons, and that's all been brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center.
We certainly do appreciate their support. You know, over the years, and it's been a great relationship with them as well. John, we're going to give you kind of the soapbox here for a moment, because I kind of want to, you're the newest of the three of us to this, and I think this is your second full year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So why don't you kind of give us your thoughts on this past year on SVC Sports Talk? Just kind of summarize, if you can. You know, obviously I know what's going to be close to the top, but
yeah.
What about other things as well?
Well, it's been interesting.
Yep.
It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. I would rather have been able to talk spring sports. I enjoyed being able to do these last few shows just to kind of get back into a little bit of normalcy. And obviously COVID takes over. That's just kind of where we are with everything. But I do think that, you know, we can't look at the rest of the year and just kind of brush it off to the side. We had three playoff teams in football. We had multiple teams in volleyball make it to the regionals. We had two state qualifiers in tennis, I believe, for the first time ever. You know, considering only two people get out ever from the Southeast District, that's, you know, really impressive. UDO's cross country team having another great season. UDO's golf team getting back to state. And then basketball, Zane Trace making another run to the regional and actually having kind of a classic game against Sedina in the district championship game. It was still a really good year overall for SVC sports. And, you know, it's disappointing on how it ended, but I think we're going to be kind of stronger as a entire society because of going through this whole thing together. Mm-hmm. And I know that I'm looking forward into the fall of being able to talk about games and athletes each week when we get back on this in the fall.
Let's hope that we are able to do that coming up here in the fall.
Yes.
That seems like a long way away as we sit here, but I was thinking this is the latest that we've recorded a podcast that I can recall, Shane. We're on the 9th of June today.
Absolutely.
Usually we wrap up in the first week or so of May. So it's closer than it would have been normally for us. And speaking of the end of the season, Shane, you know, this will be the episode on which we give out the coveted and irreplaceable Sports Zony Awards, I'm sure. So why don't, for those young listeners that perhaps have not had themselves availed to such a highly prestigious award, why don't you explain a little bit about the Sports Zony?
Yeah, basically just kind of a fun thing, playing off a little bit maybe of the ESPYs a little bit. If you're familiar with that award show there on ESPN or if something, gosh, I don't even remember how many years ago, Bruce, we just kind of thought it was a fun way to cap off a year and look back and think about what's the best game we watched, what's the best play we watched, what's the best performance, what's the best record-breaking thing, what was heartbreak, what was, you know, male athlete of the year, female athlete of the year, and just do all of those different things. And so as we got down to this last show, I know we'd planned on looking at John's brackets a little bit more and so forth. And we're still going to have some written coverage on SBC Sports Zone just to kind of give an analysis of the incredible work that John has been able to do there on SOSA. But this just kind of made sense. Hey, we still, as John just mentioned, even though we didn't get our spring coverage, and I think we agree it was going to be an amazing spring with some incredible performances, we still have a lot of sports out there. We still have a lot of athletes that deserve the opportunity to be honored one last time. And so this fun way of doing the Sports Zoning Awards, we're going to abbreviate the show just a little bit this year. I think we give, what, play of the year, game of the year? We're going to look male athlete, female athlete of the year. I know we're going to give a different type of service award type of thing, an achievement award. That'll be interesting because, again, John and I do no pre-show comparison here, so you might hear us repeat one another. But again, I'm always anxious to see John's perspective on some of these things too. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun, Bruce, no matter who wins a particular award in the eyes of myself or in John, what makes these type of shows kind of cool is how many different kids, their names will come up or their achievement or their performance will come up just in terms of kind of our open dialogue. So I'm excited to get going with it.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. It's now time to start handing out some awards, and we'll do that beginning next. And our first section of the podcast here as we get rolling is brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Call them at 877-947-4499. They're celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. You can schedule a consultation today on their website. They remain open and available for all of your HVAC needs. Their team's available 24/7 to respond. Again, 877-947-4499. Appreciate their support of the podcast. Okay, we're going to get into our sports zony. The first one kind of is one that everybody would understand, that being the headline of the year. I'm going to ruin it for both of you guys and tell everybody that it's the COVID-19 headline of the year, that being the headline of the year. And the way we're going to do this, both Shane and John will give us their winner for each of these categories as we go down through it. So, Shane, I'm going to go to you first on your thoughts of COVID-19 being the headline of the year for the SBC Sports.
Well, it is, John. And what's interesting is, you know, when you think through, you had mentioned all those achievements in the fall and the winter. I thought you did an incredible job there. And when I think of headlines, I know through Great Seal Sports, I had a chance to really sit down and talk with Brandon and Jacob Smith and the Smith family, and that headline sticks out. But this historical value, I know how much of you've really been able to dive into the history of the SBC. This is going to be kind of a hole in history, isn't it? Yeah. That is 2020 spring. I'm eventually going to put some type of page up on the website just to kind of archive it. You know how we end up going back and looking year by year by year, but like I didn't even know what to put on the page. Like, do I just put a big, you know, COVID word, or do I put a, you know, it's bizarre. I think of the 2020 spring and that whole history. I know we had some really good softball pitchers. I you know, it's my understanding we're going to have a little bit more depth at the bottom of the league, a little bit more competitiveness due to some young arms coming up that you know, we'll still get to see as those young ladies become sophomores and eventually juniors and so forth. But you know, John, I'm biased in baseball. If the brackets would allow it, I think we could have had one of the bizarre things of maybe half of our league having an outside shot of making the regional tournament. Mm-hmm. I know that that sounds bizarre. I know that sounds really, you know, maybe district final would have been a safer, better, whatever. But again, if the brackets would allow it the way the divisions were going to separate us, and then obviously in track, we have some young people that I'm sure we'll hear their names throughout tonight's show. But on both boys and girls side, there was just a lot of different teams and individuals there. So I guess it's that hole in history is what comes to my mind. And when we look back on it, it'll just kind of feel a little empty in terms of some of those careers not being able to kind of cap off and write that final chapter.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's tough because it really was going to be a very special spring. You know, not just with obviously with baseball and softball, but you know, track with Lane Ruby was going to have a really good chance to win a state championship individually. I know Unita girls were going to be really, really good again. You know, it was going to be exciting. It was, there's so much to it that, you know, got taken away, and it is because of the COVID stuff. And I think that, like you mentioned, the hole in history is probably the best way to describe what COVID has done to not just SEC sports, but all sports in general.
It has been, and it will continue to be, you know, a line in the sand, so to speak, for the world. But you know, it really affected the lives of everybody, obviously. But for the type of stuff that we talk about on here, you know, it just shut her down, and we'll always remember that. That'll be referred to as the year of, you know, 2020 was the year of COVID-19. So, all right, yep. Guys, our first category here for the Sports Sony is the play of the year. The way we're going to work this, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to discuss that category vis-a-vis what you think might fit into it. And then when you're done discussing it, we'll come back to me. I'll make the grand announcement, and then one of you will disclose yours, followed closely by the other. So our first category at this time is play of the year. And so I'm going to go to John and let him talk about this.
Well, when I went through the play of the year, I went to things that really stood out to me. So like if you went back and watched some of the football games, I think you could probably have Lane Ruby as like 45 of like just a bunch of just ridiculous plays he made. There was an interception Cruz McFadden made against Uniota that was just unreal. This one-handed interception. Braden Eisen had a 90-yard touchdown run against Newark Catholic, where I would estimate that he ran about 150 yards because he went to the right and then turned back field, and then he got to about the 20, and see Bryce Newland throw his hands up because he knew that nobody was catching him. Then if you look volleyball, the Adina rally to kind of keep their match against St. Therese going in the fourth set. They were up 2-1, but I remember Cameron Carroll going over the bench to save a ball. Just an amazing point overall. You know, it really stood out in my mind. There's just several throughout the year, some basketball plays. I know Hayden Leemaster hit a game winner to beat Adina, at Adina for Westfall earlier this year. That was one of the big shots of the year. Really fun to be able to see that on. That's one of the really things I enjoyed was different people. I know it was the Pickaway County basketball, their hoops, they started putting out videos and stuff, so we got to see a little bit more Westfall than we had in the past.
You're right.
Yeah, so I mean, stuff like that I thought was really fun. You know, and I thought there's several really good plays, and you know, you could even mention you know, some holes by some golfers like a Ty Schobelock and things like that, to where, you know, we've had some amazing athletes make amazing plays all year.
Well, it is, and John did such a good job of rallying off some different things there. I won't be too repetitive. I think before I name the winner, Bruce, the way I'll go with this is even talk about what makes a play of the year.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, sometimes it's just randomly where you're sitting, John, like you said, right. You know, when you mentioned the Braden run, I remember we had the luxury of watching that game together, and that was a cool kind of scene, yes. Wasn't it, in terms of of that particular thing. Sometimes you're lucky or unlucky to mm-hmm. see it from the opposing bench. You know, sometimes you see it from your own bench, or sometimes you're seeing it, unfortunately, from the opposing bench. But that still, as a sports fan, doesn't take away the greatness. Yep. You know, so a lot of those things go into play. But I guess, Bruce, one argument would be, does it have to be kind of, you know, a game-winning play, or can it be just a random play? Like, I remember the one year we were giving out the Sport Zony. Mm-hmm. This many years later, Gabe Fisher's block at Chillicothe.
It's
one of the greatest things I'd ever seen a high school basketball player do. Now, so does that beat a buzzer beater, or does that beat a Lane Ruby run or so forth? Yeah, I don't know. That's for each their own. But those are some of the kind of the things that go into play here. So I'm anxious to see where John went with this. Mine, unfortunately, I'll give a little tease here. Mine, unfortunately, was a no-brainer for me.
Okay. Gentlemen, the SVC – let me do this correctly. The SVC Sport Zony for Play of the Year goes to John.
Mine was the Adena rally to keep the fourth set alive against St. Trace. St. Trace had about six different attempts to end the set on one play, and Ari DeRiff and Cameron Carroll, I believe Hope Garrison was involved in, just kept digging up the ball, and they just kept it alive, and it was just kind of a miracle play. It didn't win the match, but it helped propel them to finish the match.
And Shane?
Well, as I said, unfortunately, mine, I watched from the opposing bench. Mine, I would go down to Paint Valley Pike and girls basketball game. Kind of to set the stage, too, for the future of the league here, Bruce. In this game, I believe there were seven freshman sophomores combined for eight or more points. And Piketon ends up winning 51-50. It was a game that Paint Valley controlled almost all the way through. Paint Valley was up 28-21 at half, went up 40-33. And again, two young basketball teams, one having trouble finishing and the other one not quitting. Payne Valley left the door open there with some poor ball handling and some free throw shooting and so forth. And I'm telling you, if you've listened to SVC Sports Talk throughout the year, Bailey Volgamore's been someone I've been really, really high on. I compared kind of one show, John. Remember we did the comparison to past and present, and I was talking even the high praise of like an Alexis Overly, that tall, right, lanky guard that could really, really play. And I'm telling you, it was an incredible shot. She scored 20 points that night, four threes, and her fourth three basically was a shot that from the opposing bench on the other end, I would have bet my house that there was no way she could have had her foot behind the line. And I had even more of an appreciation for it, John, because in the heat of the battle, you're trying to say she towed it. It's two. It's, you know, you're trying to coach still.
Yeah.
As a fan, when I had a chance to step back and just appreciate the talent and appreciate the shot, one, I the coach in me just loves that she had the guts to take the shot. You know what I mean? Or to, like, you know, she wanted the ball. She wanted to get to her spot. But her ability to get the left foot down behind the three-point line, and there was really good video of this out there, and kind of shoot like a little runner, almost like picture like a right-hander shooting a layup. She kind of basically from the three-point line in front of her bench kind of just got the shot up with some touch, and it fell through, and it was a remarkable play by that young lady, and that's why I've always been able to separate on SVC Sports Talk. Obviously, at the time, you know, I was hoping it didn't go in,
right.
But it was a situation where just a special player. I think this is a player that's just scratching the surface. I know she went through some – someone from Piketon might be able to help me here. I was wanting to say she went through – an injury that went through the off season, so it kind of limited her volleyball, John, if I'm not mistaken. She kind of came back a little bit because the goal was to be 100% for basketball, and man, was she ever. And I think it's someone we're going to hear. So yeah, mine would be the Baltimore shot against Paint Valley Girls.
Okay.
Yeah, that one was another one where, Shane, where you said, you know, there's some really good video. That was one I was able to watch the video from through Twitter. So that was really fun to be able. So as soon as you said, unfortunately, I went, oh, I know what Shane's is.
Yeah.
Because I can remember. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Our next category is Game of the Year. Shane, we're going to go to you first for your thoughts on this.
Well, I'll kind of go the same way, John. I'll kind of take the stance here of what makes a Game of the Year. Does it have to be a championship game? Does it have to be a postseason game? Does it have to have, you know, a league title on the line type of thing? Or can it just be randomly a great game? I kind of remember one year I had given – you know, Bruce, when we first started doing this, I remember there were two football teams that were kind of at the bottom of the league. It was Westfall Huntington at the time. Mm-hmm. They played like a triple overtime game. It was just the best game I was at all year. You know what I mean? It was one of those where – so a lot of times I think it certainly adds to it if it's a championship level or a postseason, you know, a little bit more of gosh, I don't know the word, John, that we use. Maybe it has a little bit more meaning or a little bit more, you know, final, you know, result driven type of thing. So I thought you'd mentioned some different ones there. You mentioned some of the district volleyball that certainly steps out. I know our football race had some different ones there. You know, basketball, not as many on here. You know, our girls league was a little bit more lopsided. We had some of our best games, as I just mentioned, probably from our middle to bottom half teams playing one another. The top teams were a little bit more dominant. So that'll be interesting to see how John ends up going here. But I think the one interesting thing for fans to think about is when you think of your game of the year, does it need to have a little bit more on the line, or are you able to just separate and enjoy, hey, that was a great game tonight, regardless of what kind of was being played for in terms of the standings or the result?
John, you want to kind of give us some examples of the things you're thinking about?
Yeah, I had listed five for myself, or actually six, and four of which were regular season games. Just so they didn't have to necessarily be postseason. Man, there was some unbelievable volleyball all year. So I think if you just went, I'm just going to look at volleyball, you can probably find four or five there. I put a big upset in basketball that at the time was a big upset, maybe wasn't overall. Actually had a regular season soccer match between Uniota and Beechcroft was one of the ones I thought really stood out. Uniota made a real late run to beat them 2-1, and Beechcroft was just gigantic across the board on how big they were size-wise. I had a lot of fun just going back and looking at through the games from this past year, because it was just a really good year overall.
All right, gentlemen. The SVC Sports Zoney for Game of the Year goes to Shane.
Well, guys, I feel like I'm Mr. Negative here this week, but I'm going to go back to an unfortunate night in terms of result. But again, the Game of the Year that sticks out to me, John, is Grandview Heights 35, Paint Valley 28. And for me, the reason, probably selfishly, guys, is what we had an opportunity to do. Obviously, those Paint Valley guys mean the world to me, but it was just a kind of a cool opportunity with the way the radio was kind of pushed in different directions. We were able to step in and call that game, and you can still go back and find that there on Bruce's page. You can also go back on our page, go back to the scoreboard on the football side, and there's still a link to go to Bruce's page to listen to that. And we basically went commercial free and called the game start to finish. And, you know, Grandview Heights jumped out, you know, 20-0, and Paint Valley responded, cut it to 24-14 by half. And then before you know it, they fight and fight and fight, and they get it all the way back to 28-all. And, you know, you had mentioned Cruz McFadden earlier. He made some special plays that night in every aspect. You know, Kevin Cooper filling in there as the rookie quarterback when Bryce Newland went down, and you know, I know Ian Cockrell and Dane Miller and so forth. But obviously, on the other side, the opportunity, John, the way we are sports nuts, to watch an athlete like Luke Lachey.
Yes.
And I know I went on to follow him a little bit in his basketball stuff too, but you know, a kid that's going to go on to Iowa and so forth, it's just, it was tremendous. And again, I know some of the Zane Trace and Adina communities are out there saying, hey, what about our, you know, 51-48 game in the combo, or what about, you know, John mentioned it so well earlier, the Adina Zane trade. Those were all on my radar, but I guess I just kind of went selfishly again. That's what these are, kind of are your individual votes, so to speak. I just think of that night, Grandview Heights and Paint Valley, and that'll just be a night that for personal reasons, but as well as just as a sports fan, something I'll always remember.
Okay, John, what say you about game of the year?
Mine came on the exact same day. I just talked about this on my 20-hour drive home with my dad. Was, you know, that obviously was a huge, you know, a huge thing. But also, my game of the year was Sylvia Gray 7-6, 6-1 over Bella Kirby of Indian Hill in the state tennis tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It was that was kind of a overall. Her career, she won over 100 matches in her career, only lost four, all of which were at the state tournament. She won four regional championships. Just she had signed to Wright State for tennis. I don't know what's going to happen with that because Wright State just eliminated it. But, you know, I'm sure she'll be a coveted person for a lot of schools, as she already was. But seeing her, she was a full foot shorter than the Kirby girl from Indian Hill. But after she won the first set, she won 7-6. It was 7-3 in the tiebreaker. She just completely dominated the second set. And then she's up 5-0 in the second set and starts cramping. And you have 10 minutes to deal with an injury or you have to retire. She went about 9 minutes and 45 seconds before she was able to actually get back in and play. So while she had dominated that, it was still on the verge of, okay, is she going to actually end up winning? And just seeing how she kept her cool the entire match, just never got rattled. She got down a couple points in the first set and just came back. And it was just an overall highlight to be able to cover her as one of the elite individual athletes we've ever had in the SVC.
Gosh, you talk about burying the lead, though, Bruce. How about that day of SVC sports? Because if I'm not mistaken, you'd have had other teams in the playoffs those same nights, right? So, I mean, what a day.
Yeah. And, you know, we had two girls down there playing in that tennis tournament, and we also had, like you said, we had Southeastern won a playoff game. Adina also hosted. So it was a great day in SVC sports.
Good stuff, guys. That's and John, that's probably the first time we've been able to hand out a game of the year to a tennis match. And I remember you going down there and hanging out. So that's good stuff. Up next, we look at individuals and explain who we think was the best male and female athletes in the past year in the SVC. And this section of the podcast brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic Boarding and Grooming, Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff on Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. Give them a call, 740-773-7387. You can look them up on the web for all kinds of detailed information at northforkanimalclinic.com. Appreciate their support of the podcast as well. Gentlemen, we next get into the category first of female athlete of the year. John, we're going to go to you on this one.
Yeah, well, if you're looking at it, you can look at it a variety of different ways. You can look at somebody who stood out in multiple sports or just stood out in one, as they probably would have stood out in another sport, you know, with the spring coming up. But, you know, I looked at it with individual awards over the term of a career also, you know, how each player, maybe someone that came back from an injury like a Skylar Heights was definitely in consideration. Sylvia Gray was somebody I had considered in this. Hallie Pinkerton, when you talk about just overall career. Marcy Dudgeon, another one that just was – she was an outstanding soccer goalie, but also got to 1,000 points this year. Really kind of an underrated career. I know we talked about her a lot on here, but was – I believe she was SBC Softball Player of the Year last year. Is that right, Shane?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, with her and Pinkerton being two of the top softball players, too, would have maybe had a chance to run away with this. So I think you can go a lot of different ways on this.
Well, it is. And, you know, what happens, it's incredible how these categories start to overlap. You know, when you're thinking play of the year, a lot of times those plays happen in games, don't they? You know, and the same way, when I start to think of some of these kids, oftentimes, Bruce, what happens is you start to think of them in the middle of all of those particular championship runs or in those moments that kind of stick out to you. And We've had some domination. It's really unique to me to think about. Some of our fall champions came a little bit off the radar to me in terms of, and they were led by, you know, championship type level performances and leadership. And it is kind of when I think of Phillips and the domination there, and volleyball. You mentioned so well. You know, sometimes we don't want to cheat a sport like tennis. What Sylvia Gray, we. I'm not saying we here on SVC Sports Talk, but I know people in the sports community just kind of almost would take it for granted in terms of maybe not appreciating just how dominant even Kerr and some of the running. You mentioned Dudgeon is so good. So when I think of this category, what's hard for me is sometimes you want to cheat ahead to spring, John, and you want to think about, gosh, this person would have most likely added this to their resume. Now, is that fair or not? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things that you feel like in a way it almost eliminates them from the award, but at the same time, you feel like if you added in that maybe you're cheating the award. So that was something I really went back and forth on. So each fan will have to decide there. But I certainly had four or five kids on my radar, but this one, honestly – female and male athlete for me were pretty no brainer. So I think on the female, Bruce, I'm ready to go for sure.
All right. So the SVC Sports Zoney for Female Athlete of the Year goes to John.
I had Allison Basie of Huntington, just unbelievable basketball player, had a really good year in volleyball. Just unbelievable athlete overall. Just, I mean, she had to do a little bit of everything for Huntington. Yeah, they didn't have a great season, but, you know, I'm excited to see her growth as she continues to go on. I think she's in that that elite category of just special overall athletes.
And Shane.
For me, guys, I go with Skylar Heiss. I think that, again, if Marcy Dudgeon would have been allowed to have her spring and she would have added on some things that John had mentioned there, this it could have gotten a little tighter for me. That's a terrific athlete and young lady that I enjoyed watching, coaching against and so forth. But I just think Skylar, especially with us not really having spring, we have fall and winter to look at here. To me, it becomes a no-brainer. This was a volleyball player that was a POY coming back off of, you know, the junior year where she was hurt and she was fighting back through that injury. She had teammates hurt. She was shouldering a ton. This coming on already coming in terms of a lineup that had two would-be varsity starters that had made personal decisions in the previous 12 to 18 months and leaving her and so forth. She fought through 1,000 career kills, 1,000 digs. She impacted the league race, and then they kind of all were able to come together and win a sectional title, district runner-up, kind of got stuck in the wrong district bracket. But just phenomenal on the volleyball court. And then in basketball, we thought it was certainly a race that was kind of Uniota and everybody else, but kind of Southeastern proved that to be a little unfair. I mean, at 12-2, 20-5, she became the total X factor in the league without mm-hmm. question. Obviously Graves is a special player, but Heiss averaging 13 points, 8 rebounds, shot over 70% from the free throw line, 55 from the field, just her efficiency and just her toughness and her leadership. I was thinking the day, John, there's certain kids throughout the league that you watch, and obviously kids we coach are very, very special to us. But yeah. There's always, I think, one of the biggest compliments that you can give an opposing player is when you watch that kid play and you're like, gosh, I think it'd be really special just for like a practice or two just to coach that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the compliment I would give to Skylar Heiss. Just a really, really special person. I had a chance to talk to her a little bit in a Great Seal Sports feature a while back, and just the leadership skills in the classroom and in terms of on the court, just special thing. So that's the way I would go with female athlete here.
Great pick.
All right, gentlemen, we move along. Our next category is Male Athlete of the Year, funny enough. And Shane, we're going to go to you for your thoughts on this.
Yeah, when I started to look at the boys here, guys, I have a little deeper list. I think there's a little bit more depth, in my opinion. I think on the girls' side, and maybe it was because I was so biased towards Skylar in that pick, and as I mentioned, Dudgeon, I had a couple other young ladies there. And again, I thought you mentioned fairly, John, if a Pinkerton and so forth was able to add some more things into the spring, or a couple track kids were able to add some things into the spring, maybe it changes more people onto that list. But it on the guy side, when you think of record setting and you think of accomplishments and you think of all these things, obviously Cam Evans comes to mind, 1,652 points, the championships that come along with it. It wasn't just individual numbers. It was, winning, show block. We mentioned not wanting to cheat sports, golf and bowling and so forth. It's hard not to, to put those things out there. The entire Uniota cross country team, Corey Schoblock, Eric Hacker, Gabe Lynch, Robert Emmel, Clayton Lynch, those kids. I even have a lot of respect for the overall versatility of the Adina kids, Sykes and Bennett and so forth. Not necessarily maybe a winner of the category, but worth mentioning a Beeler. I mentioned the Paint Valley boys very close to me. Maybe none of them actually in line to win the award, but Mettler and Newland and McFadden and Miller and Eisen, all those kids, Whaley, Chandler and Gallia, all these kids, I think are worthy of being mentioned in this category. Now, where do you start to cut off that line, John, in terms of serious contenders? I'm not sure. Like, I guess what I would ask you before we name it, do you need, because I know you probably would rattle off a lot of the same names in terms of contenders, do you feel like it has to be number driven? Is it championship driven? Is it eye test? Do you want them to check all of the boxes? What separates it for you?
I think it's just kind of overall dominance. It can be one sport. It can be, like you said, it can be over different sports. Like you mentioned Bennett and Sykes. Those are two great examples. Or you could look at and also Schoblock, obviously. Or you look at individuals within a team, which, you also mentioned Evans and Ruby. Those guys are just outstanding, but only played in the one sport this year. Cruz McFadden, as one of the bounce back players of the year and just being outstanding overall. It's to me, it's these awards can just cover so much because of how special the athletes we have. And I thought these were really difficult awards to do this year.
All right, guys, we're down to it. The SBC Sports Zony for Male Athlete of the Year goes to Shane.
Well, guys, we have a Southeastern sweep here. I'm going to go with Lane Ruby. Just a special athlete. I will say, John mentioned the one sport. what Cam Evans did historically and with winning and so forth. It was it certainly did make me stop and think, but, you know, not even worried about what Lane was going to accomplish in the spring. What he accomplished in the fall, to me, pushes him over the top. And I guess, John, what I wanted to talk about here is I don't know if you remember doing this. You and I did a little promo for the return of SVC Sports Talk. We talked about Paint Valley and Uniota, why they're going to win, why they won't win. And, you know, Dean is still right there, whatever. And then there's that one, you know, Ruby, and you're like, he's not bad. Remember that promo? Yes. So it was a situation where I'm going to be the first to admit, I knew he was going to be special. I knew he was going to have great runs. I knew he was going to do a lot of things. I never dreamed he would be able to get that group to 7-0, 11-1. And, you know, the 30-some touchdowns he had a hand in, scored like 160-some points. I mean, the total yards reached up close to 2,000. And if you take all purpose yards, it did go over 2,000. It's just incredible. And when I think back through his career, I've always got a special place for the small school athlete. One of the Great Seal Sports thing I have coming up looks back at a Dylan Swingle, Ella Skeens type thing. And I think what people forget to remember, John, about those, and I know you're a big history guy, is you have to go all the way back to like 1990, 91 at Southeastern Girls Basketball, or back into like 93 in boys basketball to find things that Dylan and Ella accomplished, to find at those schools. You see what I'm saying? And they dug in at their home place. They dug in and said, hey, I want to be a part of this, and I'm going to bring people along with me, and I'm going to do it right here. And when I look at what Lane did in football, and again, I'm not even talking about the track, which might even be more accomplished. He grew up in elementary and junior high with watching 0-10 seasons or 2-8 seasons or so forth. And he comes in his freshman year, and I think they were 6-4, and then it would have been his sophomore year would have been their first 7-0, 11-1 run, correct? And then, you know, they had like the 7-4. I think they lost a couple of league games there the junior year, but then to come back and do that this year, it's incredible to me, because I guess, again, being around the SBC as long as I have been, that's not normal at Southeastern football. And I don't say that. I hope people don't take that as criticism. I hope they understand that I'm talking about someone in a special way, the same way a Swingle, the same way a Skeens, and those particular kids, is when they dig in and they become the centerpiece of something special and something unique. And I guess that's what stands out in me. So when you start talking about all these boxes, he checks them all. You know what I mean? Every time I watched him play, I wouldn't dare to leave a Southeastern football game last year. I remember staying in the fourth quarter because I wanted to watch him like play quarterback one more possession.
Yeah,
that type of thing. So just a special, special athlete, and his performances just kind of made this one a no-brainer for me in terms of this award.
John, what say you on the Male Athlete of the Year?
It was Lane Ruby. This is our first sweep, and that was the first name I wrote down. I made sure to write down others, and while we talked about the others having great years, he could just take over a game anytime. You could put 2-3 guys on him, like spying on him. He was going to find a way to get around him, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do at a small school in college where they're going to use him, and maybe use him in a bunch of different ways, because that dude is unbelievable. And, you know, Shane, you mentioned like Southeastern football it had won one SVC title before. Ruby came to high school, wins two with him and makes the playoffs three times, while they had made it one time before that, or maybe it was two times. They might've made it in the mid-80s also, but it's just an unbelievable special athlete. And I think it would have been even more of a no-brainer if he was able to have the spring that he was probably going to have. So, yeah, I thought that was very well said with what you said about Lane.
Yeah, and Cam Evans did have an incredible cap, you know, year and capped his career. It was just a little bit of a separation for me, and just in terms of, you know, individual just athleticism and dominance.
Yes.
Gentlemen, up next, we move to the final segment of this year's SVC Sports Talk as we honor the history of the SVC and look ahead to 2020-2021.
This town ain't big, this town ain't small, it's a little of both, they say. Our ball club may be minor league, but at least it's Triple A. We sit below the Marlboro Man, above the Rockville Wall. We do the wave all by ourselves. Hey, Ump, a blind man could have made that call. We like our beer flat as candy. We like our dogs with mustard and relish. We got a great pitcher, what's his name? Well, we can't even spell it. We don't worry about the pennant.
You guys think I forgot about it coming back?
I was just enjoying it. I mean, you know, Bruce kind of sandbagging on us there a little bit. Todd saying out, now guys, I know that this last show here, I just kind of had to throw some bump music together or whatever. Right. And then he throws three good ones at us and knocks it out of the park in the finale there with Little Alabama.
Oh, I knew you were partial to that. I have to admit that when it came up on the old Rolodex, I said, Shane will like that one.
Yeah.
Well, this segment brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club. I know they're out there hitting the little white ball around. That's one of those things you can do. And although I'll bet Shane's been there numerous times by this time. Crown Hill Golf Club's located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. You can call them at 740-986-4653. And you can look them up on the web as well, crownhillgolfclub.com. Well, we're going to give one other Sports Zony out here, and this one a little different. And for instance, I'm not going to play the hokey fanfare or anything for this one, but this one was one that Shane kind of put together and thought that maybe we should talk a little bit about this. This is our Service and Achievement Award, and it would kind of go to a past or present player or coach for their contribution to SVC. So, Shane, you want to kind of kick us off with this, maybe a little explanation?
Yeah, I'll just kind of talk about the award first and not necessarily name my recipient. I just wanted a way to honor some people that have given – not just maybe through their playing days, but maybe onto coaching. It could be media side. It could be whatever way in terms of promoting the SVC. I just thought that it was a great way to go. And I think we have a lot of coaches. I think we have a lot of different people behind the scenes that maybe go and I already could rattle off about 8, 9, 10 people. And, you know, it's just almost like naming inaugural Hall of Fame type of class, John. You know, we can only pick one each, but I think maybe this could be a particular tradition that maybe we could start, and we'll start with our two selections tonight, and we'll kind of start it. And I would like to almost kind of keep an ongoing list as years go on SVC Sports Talk that we can kind of recap and look back at these people.
All right. How do you want to do this? Do you want to, John, you want to contribute your selection here at this point?
Yeah, I think you can go a lot of different ways with this. You know, I like the idea of being able to kind of honor those of the past that have really helped contribute, or even now. Mm-hmm. I know we mentioned the present, but I'd like to go to the past. And you know, I talked about them on my I talked about them on one of those articles for the best SVC team ever. And it was, you know, I named one of my brackets after him, and it's somebody who I believe really, you know, I don't think they're forgotten about because they haven't coached in 10 years or so, but I don't know if we appreciate what Larry Jordan did for basketball in the area. Mm-hmm. The Southeastern program has not been very good since he left. you know, and he took a small school and led them to 17 SEC championships, 18 sectional championships, 10 district championships, took them to the state tournament three times with, you know, three regional championships, obviously. He won 539 games at Southeastern. You know, he's one of the all-time winningest coaches in state history. If you throw in his Waverly, Western, and Jackson days, well, they weren't as successful. He was still just an unbelievable contributor to the SEC. Might as well name the SEC Coach of the Year award after him because of how many times he won it. And then he was just an outstanding player overall. Played at Morehead State, averaged 16 points a game his senior year. You know, that's a Division I school. So he was an outstanding athlete to go along with being a great coach and an ambassador for the game. A member of the Ohio High School Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame as well. I think that's, for me, a really good place to start to honor one of those of our past.
All right. Well said. Shane, what do you have to say?
That was extremely well said, and obviously a great, great choice, because, again, I have about 12 names down that, you know, I look forward to future opportunities to discuss in terms of this type of honor. But for this first time here, guys, I want to kind of, again, go a little bit biased but very deserving, and I want to go to Uniota Golf with Dan Drummond. I think it's one on a personal note. He was a golf coach of mine clear back when, but here's a situation of a guy that's probably given almost 40 years now, I think it is, to high school golf. And just after about a decade of his career, the SVC started up golf. It was the fall of 93. That would have been the senior class of 94. And I believe it's been 27 years of SVC golf now. He's won 19 titles, 18 of them outright. So it's just the consistency and the time he spends. I know still to this day, John, he meets and gives opportunity to elementary and junior high kids to come on the range with him and hit and to putt and work on their short game and do different things. The hours he goes. Then I know what a lot of people don't know. If you haven't had a chance to see the coaching feature there in terms of in Great Seal Sports that I had a chance to do on Coach Drummond, you're talking about a guy who's also a Hall of Fame football official and he's done basketball. And a lot of times he won't go to the higher levels. He'll avoid Uniota games because he doesn't think it's fair and so forth. But like the amount of hours he's given to young people in the SVC, obviously what he's done is coaching. But then what he's done with his officiating and how he's impacted other coaches. He's impacted, you know, young people and giving them opportunities in other areas. It's just it's remarkable. So I think Larry Jordan and Dan Drummond are two guys that are more than worthy of starting what I hope we can start as a pretty cool tradition here on SVC Sports Talk. So I'm excited to see if we can't get this established. And, you know, if we're lucky enough for SVC Sports Talk to keep on keeping on, we're going to hit towards 300 next year, Bruce, if the good Lord willing. And hopefully as we give away these sport zonies in another 9 years, we'll have what there, you know, 18 people or so that we kind of honor in this particular type of award, or maybe we'll even cheat if we get some feedback and we'll do like a kind of a catch up type thing and name some of these people to get it. So I'm kind of anxious to hear feedback from people on that as well.
All right. That'd be probably a whole show we could dedicate to that, or it would take more than one show probably, but we could do that. Absolutely. There's been lots of people that would like to honor. Well, guys, this is our last podcast of the year, and we don't want your email and your Twitter and your Facebook and so forth to run dry. So we'd like to hear from sports fans within the SVC throughout the summer. I wanted to, one more time, give the contact information for each of these two gentlemen. First, for Shane, you can reach him through email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. And for John, his email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you've got Shane using the handle SVC Sport Zone, and you've got John using the handle Coconut Wall Papa. Makes sense. They both, when publishing SVC content, use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. Shane also maintains two profiles on Facebook. It's Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and SVCSportsZone.com. And if you want, you can use the DBK Media Services voicemail message. Call 740-569-3254 and leave a message there for SVC Sports Talk. I'll get it to Shane. If you do see our content, we ask that you share it on Facebook and retweet it or favorite it on Twitter. And if you're listening on iTunes, we ask that you be so kind as to give us a rating and maybe a great review as well. And that's going to put a capper on episode 283. John, one more time here. What's got you most excited for 2020-2021?
The possibility of having sports. I would really hope it feels like we're having a good chance to start to get things moving in the right way on being able to have sports again, and I'm very excited for that. I'm excited to see how much hard work the kids have been putting in to, you know, just putting in the work in, on their own time. I know we can get back in and we can do stuff in small groups now, but, you know, if the kids are putting in the time, there can be a lot of big improvements over this past year and throughout this time with COVID.
They've had some time, haven't they? Yeah. That would be great if we would see marked increase in ball skills and so forth, right, Shane? Mm-hmm. Shane, what about your comments here about the website, maybe the podcast, even what you're most excited about? I think you've got lots going on.
Well, I am, but I hope everyone understands through all the different things that may be going on that at SVCSportsZone.com, our true passion, our true love is for the SVC. This league has meant the world to me in terms of, as I started as a junior high player there, toward the late 80s. I've been a manager, a junior high player, a high school player, a coach of multiple, three, four different sports. And then obviously the website's about 13 years old, I think it is. And 14, maybe, you're coming up on a decade of SVC Sports Talk. So our goal is to continue that, to cover wall to wall, scores, stats, details. We're always looking for different ways to do those things. We mentioned Triple Crown earlier. Certainly appreciate Herbie Strange has been with us throughout it all in terms of giving, the opportunity to honor, athletes of the week and so forth. I never want to lose an opportunity to thank Crown Hill Golf Club, North Fork Animal Clinic, Advanced Services. They've been tremendous beyond the website to kind of promoting SVC Sports Talk a little bit. Chris Good has been with us from day one. So there's so many different people, but again, when I say Crown Hill Golf Club, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Advanced Services, those guys have been a little bit up and beyond the website and believing in what we're doing here on the podcast show and getting a chance to have kids on and interview them, get audio and so forth, and give us a little bit more of a detailed way to just kind of highlight them. And as we look back and look ahead, I thank you, Bruce. I hope people in the Side of Valley Conference understand Bruce has been with me from day one as well. And I would have no chance of doing these podcast shows without him. And, he was basically doing it for less than 50% of probably what most people in his line of business would be doing it. And now if you look 9 years later, he's probably doing it for almost 70% less. So, he's doing it for next to nothing. And it's just giving us a lot of professionalism, a lot of quality. I know people have really enjoyed your work over the years. I'll hear comments, Bruce, on, the voice of radio and the music and the quality and the professionalism and so forth. And that's all because of Bruce. It certainly has nothing to do with when you think of technology, think of professionalism. I don't know if you think Shane Combs, John Bruce. So, you know, that has a lot to do with Bruce Knox and DBK Media Services. And John, I thank you. You obviously very limited, you know, money and food and different things that I try to bribe you with every now and then. I enjoy it, man. I do. I love it. Support his podcast. It's a good listen. It's entertaining. Make sure you do that. And just like, you know, Matt and I know on Expanding the Zone, it's just a little something different and extra, but it's again, the foundation of all of it is svcsportszone.com. And I know from the start with my brother, Matt, Jeremy, Eric Snyder, Derek Webb, you know, and then obviously John here. I know I'm probably forgetting some different guests here and there. You know, Bruce, I know we've done the live shows, the one at McDonald's there. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of live calls and so forth. And those are all goals still as we move forward. So none of that stuff is going to stop. Obviously some of these businesses involved, there's no guarantee they're going through tough times. And, but we're going to try to get it figured out and continue to do, you know, all the things we have planned to do. So, our goal for 2021 is for all athletes to, fans to safely get to return to school and sports and see if we can back to some normalcy. And I know there's a lot of websites, a lot of resources out there to look at, but if I still think that our website and our podcast show can give you that unique SVC coverage. And in closing, guys, as I always like to say, if fans will keep clicking on the website and continuing to listen to SVC Sports Talk, we'll do our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.